We're just open to doing cool shit and bringing gaming and music closer together in any way. So throwing shows around E3 or TwitchCon. Ooh. Like, these are all very real ideas that we're hopefully going to expand on when we get these in-person events back.
Hey everyone, welcome to EDM Matters. I'm so happy today to have a massive special guest with us. It's Jericho, massive streamer on Twitch. He's got, what, hundreds of thousands of followers?
A million?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but no, like, on top of being a huge Twitch streamer, he's also the co-founder of Night Mode Records, an imprint of Insomniac, and we're going to be talking about that a lot in this interview. But, I mean, I want to start it off by just asking how you're doing, buddy.
Good. A little tired. You know, it's Sunday. I scheduled this for 10 a.m., but I had a long night of poker last night with the friends. Uh-huh. Lost a lot of money, so here I am begging for you to listen to our music. It's a great cycle.
Get those streaming royalties.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah,
no, exactly. It's great. Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, we don't want to take you, you know, we don't want to keep you too long, but of course we want to let the viewers, I mean, I can have you as long as I want you.
You're right.
But yeah. Yeah. But I mean, okay, so tell us a little bit about Night Mode Records, because I believe it launched, late 2019?
You know what's crazy? My headphones just died. So give me one second.
As I was saying, tell us a little bit about Night Mode Records and how that got started.
Right. So we launched in November of 2019. It's myself and Daniel, who is one of the co-owners of Disciple Records.
Oh, Gowdy.
I did a collaboration with Disciple in like June of 2018, and it was just like me doing I guess curating an album of some old releases, some new releases, and it went so well that Dan reached out to me. He was like, hey man, we could probably do a record label off of this. Like, this went way better than any of us expected, myself included. Like, it actually ended up being Disciple's biggest album release ever, in terms of streaming numbers and playlisting. Okay. And all that stuff, right? So I was like, oh, and I'm not even like super in tune with the, you know, heavier dubstep community and the heavier bass community as much as I would be anything else. So we launched the label. It's always been a passion of mine to be involved in music. Like, even before this, I was building out playlists for my friends or even just for stream in general.
Yeah.
You know, SoundCloud, Spotify, the whole works. And then like, even growing up allegedly using LimeWire and other things, just building out like CDs for my friends and stuff. So this is something that I always wanted to do, share music with people. And it just so happened that I had the right audience and I guess an interesting enough idea that people, artists that I looked up to, ended up signing on for the project.
Yeah. Well, how did you get involved with Insomniac for it?
Okay, two things. One, we're not an imprint, okay? We're not a subdivision of Insomniac. Okay. So Insomniac is great. We went around to a whole bunch of different people. Matt Decent, Create, who's a distributor and I guess a label in their own right. Insomniac, excuse me. And we wanted to figure out what the best group would be to support our idea of having a DMCA-free catalog. In order to do that, you need to have a pretty good pull for people to come in and say, like, whether they're savvy with new tech or not, it's hard to convince somebody like, hey, we're just not going to claim YouTube videos with your music in it. Like, yeah, it is a viable revenue source for a lot of artists, especially bigger ones who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of videos being uploaded, and then, you know, you get that revenue. But that just, like, we realized that if we're starting a label, you know, there has to be some different idea to it that makes it at least a little bit interesting to people. Because otherwise, why would you sign with Night Mode and not Dirty Bird or Owsla or whomever? I don't know if Owsla still releases music.
I don't think so.
But yeah. But, you know, right. So we wanted to do that. And also, I come from a streaming background, a YouTube background. And there's no really good library of non-copyright music. There's non-copyright music, but it all sounds like royalty-free music. It sounds like the music you're thinking of in your head. We just wanted to release great songs that people could use versus release a lot of songs that people could use, if that makes sense.
Yes, I mean, like, the whole, like, so I guess the whole reasoning behind the starting label was more of an altruistic sense of, like, purpose, like, to get people, maybe not the right word.
No, I get where you're coming from, and you're not wrong, right? Like, it was, it served a couple purposes. One, my selfish purpose of, I can't make music, man. I suck at it. But I spend so much time in L.A. Going out to shows, hanging out with friends in the music industry. So this was my selfish but also very business-centric idea of how I could get involved with a community that I spend most of my free time in.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like my fun is in the music side of things because I do my work in gaming. And so it's like, you know, it is something that we want to do that provides this like copyright free library that is very serve the community and serve the artists and everything. But also it's just, I'm selfish and I just really wanted to release some music that like I like, and there, you know, there you go.
I mean, that's totally fair. I mean, so I'm looking at the artists and songs you've released right now. You've got Sin, Eliminate, Alert, you even got a Feed Me release, got some Kuro on like Pluto. Like, how do you come upon these tracks? Are these pitched to you, or do you sort of reach out to these artists and be like, do you have anything you want to send to us?
When you first start a label, hard to convince anyone to send you demos, because it's like, okay, what are you looking for? And we're not a genre specific label. We want to just have good accessible music. So it was important for us, at least in the first year, and still is important to us, to release music from any genre, as long any genre of electronic music, as long as it's good and it serves a purpose behind it. Like, you know, if it's great for the festival scene, wonderful, great, we'll take it. And if it's synth pop, like Prism or our upcoming release, cool too. Like, these are great songs to listen to in the background, especially if you're playing cyberpunk. So, the Feed Me track, we reached out to him and his team. It was actually our second release. His team was super receptive, which was crazy to me because I grew up listening to Feed Me and Spore. And so to have him sign on.
I'm so happy to hear you mention Spore.
Right, yeah. And so to have him sign on for our second release, I was like, oh my God, guys. Like, we're really doing the thing. And Pluto, too, is fantastic. Everything You Need, our launch single, that is the most streamed track we have on the label so far. I think it just recently breached 2 million streams.
Ooh.
But I mean, whether we're getting demos sent or asking for demos from Unlike Pluto, or we're getting demos sent from our next upcoming release with Starseed, or all the stuff from the Cyberpunk comp, like, this is the more that we release, the more good, like, very talented artists that are reaching out to us and saying, hey, here's some stuff. Like, do you want any of this? Dead Crow, Hymenu, both of them.
Oh, God,
like,
yes.
Fantastic.
Please, yes.
Yeah.
I love those guys. So, what I know, like, with your network, you could do a lot of things with this label. Are you thinking about the future, like maybe doing like a festival or like a showcase night?
Yeah. Even before COVID, we had some stuff. We were talking to Brownies and Lemonade, for those of you who don't know, you know, LA centric, incredible community based, like, party extravaganza throwers. So we were talking with them because, I mean, those are my close friends. That's really how I met a lot of people in the music industry here. And they're the right vibe of group to work with in order to bring something like this to life. So a showcase would be fantastic. We do quarterly showcases with Insomniac on their live stream events, which is dope.
Okay.
And our next one should be coming up in like a month or two. But I mean, we want to do, personally, I would like to have an art cart at EDC. Just give me one day.
Oh my God.
Art cart, EDC. It's not going to happen this year, but maybe next year, you know, like, that would be a dream for me as somebody who's a fan of Insomniac and goes to EDC every year as a fan, to have that be a little bit more validating would be great. But, I mean, we're just open to doing cool shit and bringing gaming and music closer together in any way. So throwing shows around E3 or TwitchCon, like, these are all very real ideas that we're hopefully going to expand on when we get these in-person events back.
Yeah, it's been a rough year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're coming up on an actual full year in lockdown.
I know, two birthdays in lockdown is not gonna be fun for me.
Well, so let's pivot a little bit and talking about the label to talking about you as a streamer. So you've been streaming for quite a long time. I don't have the exact number on that.
11 years on
holy
in February.
Shit.
Yeah. And 12 years on YouTube. I'm coming up. I'm 12 and a half years. So my 13th anniversary is in June, which is
holy crap.
Like, I'm turning 28, right? So it's like almost half my life. which is
crazy. I mean, your YouTube career can almost have a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, right. Finally. Oh my God. Yeah. I went to so many bar and bat mitzvahs growing up. Like, it's time to run it back. Somebody's got to do it.
I mean, I think you could do that. Like, you know, fuck it. Throw a Jericho stream bar mitzvah. Yeah, I think exactly. It'd be a fun thing. Yeah. But perfect. I mean, so how has the experience there been? Because I know, like, a lot of people have been starting to stream on Twitch and Facebook because of quarantine, because they've just been stuck at home and were like, well, now I sort of have the time to do this. So
yeah.
Do you find that it's a little harder to get an audience now because the amount of people is just more spread out? Or, I mean, you already have a dedicated audience.
Yeah. Largely for most streamers, we didn't see any real, I mean, some probably saw a growth in viewership because you are at home and like,
yeah,
look, man, I don't care who you are. If you're at home doing class on Zoom, you're probably listening to music or watching something else on the TV or anything. So like, for better or for worse, you got more time on your hands and less travel time, and you're sitting at your computer, so the temptation is there. But at least in terms of people coming over and starting the stream, yeah, seeing musicians come and start to do production streams and do mix streams, I think is great. Of course I want more people from the music side into the gaming, and we know that musicians are huge nerds, and your favorite DJs play way too much Super Smash Bros. And and Fortnite. So that's always great. It's just, it is one of those things where you, every time you have a big influx of new people that want to stream or learn how to stream, you have to go through the same process. Like, now you're, you know, hey guys, if you do want to do this, don't spend a lot of money on gear, because you're not going to spend 5 days a week for 6 hours a day streaming to 50 people unless you really want this to be your job. And I know you don't. You're just doing this to kill time. So seeing artists and others try and balance that idea of like, I thought it was just playing games, with why the fuck does this take so much effort, is it's something that always happens.
I mean, I learned about that because, like, we also started kind of wanting to start streaming as well. But, like, we learned that a lot of it wasn't just the gaming part of it. It was also the community engagement and, like, actually talking to stream and, like, building up the community. Because, like, you could go on Twitch and find 100,000 people playing the same game. But why do they want to come watch you?
Yeah,
because of your personality.
Yeah. Like, believe it or not, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but believe it or not, like, a lot of DJs and producers and artists, as fantastic as they are on the music side of things, like, dude, even YouTubers try and come over and do streams, but if you're used to just being in an environment where you're on stage and you've got all that energy, like, how do you translate that to full-on conversations with people that are usernames, right? Like,
exactly.
It's a different type of entertainment that doesn't necessarily translate well across any other medium besides maybe like presenting or hosting.
Yeah, no, I completely. But what I was going to say before you so rudely cut me off was one of my favorite streams of yours was Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yes! I attribute that stream as a big turning point for me as a channel, because up to that point, I had been playing a lot of PUBG. I had typically been like a one main game streamer, whether it was playing Minecraft for a couple years or Counter-Strike or whatever, or H1Z1. So when I'm a huge weeb, man. So when somebody was like, hey, there's this dating sim game, I was like, yeah, let's get drunk and play a dating sim. And like, not to spoil anything, but that game's fucked up. Actually, it doesn't matter. None of you are going to play it. It's an 8-hour text-based dating sim game that goes off the rails. Like, it's just really crazy shit.
It's so fucking bizarre.
But so good. And so, yeah, that actually kickstarted me being like, yo, people like this? I was just reading and drinking for 8 hours. Like, maybe I can do literally anything on stream, and it doesn't have to be game-centric. And here we are.
Yeah.
Doing literally anything on stream.
And for the better of it.
Yes, I mean, truly.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this, man. We really appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully some people who didn't know about Nightmo go and look it up and give you some of that sweet, sweet royalty money.
Give me that. Yeah, give me that. Give me that streaming revenue, baby.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe we'll use like a Nightmo song for the intro for this video or something. I don't know.
And you know what? Yeah. You can do that, because that's what we're here for.
Exactly. That's perfect. Well, do you have anything coming up that you want to tell the viewers about?
We've got a release on the 4th, I guess technically the 5th, Starseed, I'm Outside, super dope synth pop song, probably the poppiest track we put out, love it. And then our next release is March 19th, I believe. Is that a Friday? I don't know. With Jay Sounds, which is going to be really dope. It's kind of like an Odessa-like. Yeah, yeah. So keep an eye out for both of those, and hopefully you guys like them.
Sweet. All right, dude. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been EDM Matters. I hope you enjoyed what you saw, and we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.